All right. Okay, so we're up to our last possibility, how to interpret this Mishnah, and then hopefully we'll conclude this discussion and go on to the next thing. So the Gemara has over here, Gimel Beis Chevra, at the period, the Gemara quotes from Ravina. Ravina Amar Hachi Katani, finally a different explanation. We had a few along the way. Ravashi said was talking about a mumar. Abai and Rava said was talking about a kusi. Rabbi Baruch said was talking about a tummy with shechting chulin and kachim. So Ravina Amar Hachi Katani, Hakol Shechtim, Hakol Mumchin Shechtin. Anybody who's a mumche can shecht. Mumchin v'yafo pishen mukzokin. As long as he knows the halachas of shechita, even if he hasn't proven himself. Why does he have to prove himself? Because many people faint when they see shechita. Again, we said so much blood. That's as long as he knows hilchos shechita. He's a mumche. If he doesn't know how to explain hilchos shechita, he shouldn't shecht lechatchila. But v'im shachat, if he did, b'od kenoi soy, im yodea loy mehilchos shechita. Afterwards, you check if he knew hilchos shechita. If he does, mutar lechol mishchitasa v'mlav osa lechol mishchitasa. So the first two words, HaKol Shechtim, is talking about someone who's a mumche. Shchitasa k'sheira is talking about if we didn't know he was a mumche, but we checked after, then you could eat from the shchita. If you didn't check, or we found him not to be a mumche, the shchita would be no good. Right now, obviously, that's the obvious inference. Chutz mecheres shoyt v'katan, dafil diyav enamigo. Even cheres shoyt v'katan can never be given to shech. Shem yishu, shem yidrusu, v'shem yechlidu. Maybe they'll pass to the shechita. V'kulan sheshach to ahaya. And what about the safe of the Mishnah? Everyone who shechs, if there's someone else standing over you, it's kosher. Igay macheres shoyt v'katan kai, v'im shechtu mi b'ayu. I should have just said, continue with the same topic, same subject. V'im shechtu, what's v'kulan? We're talking about those who are not mumchen. When we mean someone standing over him, then it's kosher. You don't have to have someone standing over him. Just ask him. No, the way to come on, the live decay. He's not here that we can ask him. So if there's a Jew standing over him, that could substitute in place of his bechina after the hilchos shechita. After the shechita, we could have someone standing over him. Okay, so Rava interprets it that the guy is not a mumche. The guy's a mumche. Anybody who's a mumche can shech. Even if not, we can ask him afterwards, or you can have a Jew standing over him. V'ikadami, there's a second version of Ravina's pshat. Amar hachi katani, hakol shechtim, hakol muchzakin shechtim. As long as the guy has proven himself to have a strong, right, not to faint when he shechs. Muchzafin afa pishen mumchin. He doesn't even have to know hilchos shechita. As long as he proves that he can handle it, the experience, he can shecht. V'amed varma, murim sheshachov lefaneinu beiz v'gimel pomim. He has to prove it, v'goin nesalef, he didn't faint. If he didn't shecht two or three times, he shouldn't shecht. Maybe he'll faint. Let's say no one's there. The guy shechts. We don't know if he's a muchzak. So we ask him after, did you faint? So, and if he says, no, I'm certain I didn't, you would think he would know, right? You don't have to say, be certain. Okay. Shechita is no good. But then what about v'kulan sheshechtu ahaya? What is that going on? Can't be going on chereshot to v'katan, imshach mi b'ayoi, ela asher ein muchzakin. He's talking about if the person doesn't have a chazaka, he hasn't proven himself, so if there's a Jew standing over him, it's fine. I thought you said, but b'barili, as long as he says, I'm certain I didn't faint, that's fine. No, he's not around that we can ask him, so if there's a Jew who is standing over him, then it's okay. So Rabbi basically has a similar interpretation in both instances, but with a different topic. According to Ravina, the first pshat is that the guy has to be a mumche. If he's not a mumcha, we can ask him after or have a Jew standing over him. According to the second Lishna of Ravina, the guy has to be a muchzak. He has to know that he can handle shechita. Maybe he'll faint. We don't know that he is, as long as afterwards we ask him, did you faint? He says, barely that I didn't, or there's a Jew standing over him, then the shechita is good. Okay, so then the Gemara wraps up. And the Gemara asks, why is it that everyone didn't say like the other one? So the Gemara says, Ravina, Rabbi Ravu didn't say Kabai Ravashi, because they maybe we go Kusum Kiri, Raya's saying, we said that's only based on Kusum Kiri. Yeah, the Gemara has different reasons why we didn't say one like the other. You could go through them. But what I want to talk about is Ravina. When the Gemara asks, why didn't everybody say like Ravina? So where are we? Kuhu Karavina Loy Amri, two lines up in the narrow lines. So Kuhu Karavina Loy Amri, Lahach Lishna, Da Amar Mumchen, in Shein Mumchen Loi, Ravina said, right, in order to shech, that's the first lishna of Ravina, is they have to be a mumche, And if not, you can't shaykh l'chashchila, but after b'dievet, at least if we ask you hilchashchita and you pass the test, we have a Jew standing over you, then it's okay. Most people who shecht are a mumche. So therefore, we don't need to check him afterwards. That's why they disagreed with Ravina. Right? What did Ravina say? Hakol shechtim, as long as you're a mumche. And even if you're not a mumche, if we check you afterwards, that's fine. You don't have to be, we don't have to check you afterwards. If you're a mumche, you're a mumche. Most people who perform shechita are mumchen, so we don't have to be concerned that you're not a mumche. That's why they didn't say it like that, Rishon. Hach Rishon, the Amar Mukhzakin in Jain Mukhzakin Law, according to that second version of Ravina, we have to ascertain whether or not you fainted or not. So if you have a chazak, you've done it 2-3 times, we see you don't faint, fine, but if not, you should be Oshin and Shech, the Loi. La Lufe Loi Chashina, most people don't faint, even though it is a lot to handle. Most people don't faint when they see Shechita. Or, and the according to the first version of the Gemara, most people know Hilchashkita, and therefore, we don't have to be concerned. So according to, we paskin, the Rif says, we paskin not like Ravina. We paskin like everyone else who disagreed with Ravina. That we paskin rov mitzuyin eitzo shkita mumchen. And the Rif actually quotes a machlokes about it, some Rishonim and paskin like Ravina, that if you're a mumchen to shech, then yes, if not, not, we have to give you a test afterwards. But we really paskin not like Ravina, rov of the Amorim disagreed with Ravina, rov mitzuyin eitzo shkita mumchen. Most people who approach shkita know what they're doing. So therefore, look at Tosfos. Tosfos says we have this different mask of Rav. Rav mitzuyin eitzo shkita mumchenein. V'shechten af l'chadchila. They can shech l'chadchila. Now, it can't be that this is only kasher b'dieved. If this would only be kasher b'dieved, then we could have read it back into the Mishnah, right? We could have said, we could have accepted Ravina's shot, just offered a different variation. We could have said, hakol shechtim. If he's a mumcha, and if he's not a mumcha, we can rely on the rov. Rov mitzvin eitzo shkita mumchane. So Tosfos says, must be, he can shecht even l'chadchila, v'shecht l'naf l'chadchila, v'al ein l'farcha di yevet hu, d'havi shkita suk shera. Okay, so Tosfos says, v'shecht l'naf l'chadchila, he can even shecht l'chadchila. But what does it mean, he can even shecht l'chadchila? So what does that mean? A guy walks up to shkita, he gets up to shecht. We say, who knows how to shecht? This guy says, I know how to shecht. We don't know anything about him. We don't know where he came from. We don't know his name. We don't know nothing. We know he's a Jew. He says he's Jewish. Most people who say they're Jewish are Jewish. So he says, right? Otherwise, very few people are, you know, claiming to be Jews who aren't Jews. So, at least in antiquity, now you have it. It's conservative or reform circles, but okay. Fine. So the guy says he's Jewish. We assume he's Jewish, and he wants to shecht. Most people who want to shecht know what they're doing. So he can shecht. Does that mean we don't need to test him at all? We just let everybody come and shecht? That's the way we paskin. Most people who have what to do with shkita are mumchen. So no test at all? So look at the Rosh. The Rosh quotes from the Ga'anim. That even though he can shecht without a test, afterwards we must test him. We don't prevent him from shechting in the first place. That was why we don't agree with Ravina. Right, Ravina said you have to be tested first. Hakol shechtim. It's only if you're a mumche, a proven to be a mumche. If not, b'dieved will test you afterwards. We don't accept Ravina. We hold everybody can shecht l'chadchila. Most people come to shecht are mumchen. But the Ga'anim say, really, we should check him afterwards. V'Ga'anim mefarshim, says the Rosh of Hiro Yisrael, mishum de'islu rav mitzvin et zoshkirtu mumchen hein, u'mesurim lehen l'chadchila l'shkoi. We can give them to shecht l'chadchila. Aval pi she'en yadu a mumche hu. Even if we don't know he's a mumche, v'im lav. But you must test him after the shechita. Mishum de ilayse kamon samchinen arav mitzuyin etzor shechita mumchen hem v'sharinim lay. Even though if he wouldn't be here, right? According to Ravina, if we can't test the guy afterwards, the shechita is no good. Right? If we don't know that he's a mumche, and we can't ask him afterwards, it's no good. It's only good b'dieved if either he says, we ask him, and he says hilcha shechita, or we have a Jew watching over him. We really hold rov mitzvin eitzo shkita mumchen. So if the guy would shecht and leave and never be seen again, the meat would be kosher, right? But the Gaonim say we let him shecht, but lichadchila, if he's available, we should ask him. Alba pi shein yadu mumchahu imlav al smach shiv dekenu achar shkita mishum deileise kaman samchinen aroiv. If he's not here, we can rely on the rov mitzvin eitzo shkita mumchen v'sharino guy. We could have allowed it, but if he's around, we should ask him. But if we forgot and we asked him without bedika, you're right. Meikra din the rov is fine. And we can let him shech. We don't have to test him. But we really should if he's available. We're not afraid. We leave him to shech. We're not afraid we're going to forget to ask. Because the food is mutter. If he's around, we should ask him and not be soymech on the rov. And he says, do we find this all the time? There are many things you can rely on the rov. But b'diyeved, we check. We check the sakin. Or we check the lungs after the shkita. Okay? So the Ga'anim held that even though we could give him to shech, b'diyeved, you really should check the meat. The Rosh then asked, though, he says, well, if that's the case, we really could have fit it back into the Mishnah. Oh, he's crazy. Open it. Can you just open the door? Yo, I can't talk today. I have to run. I have a gayrus right after shir.
Can I sit in shir?
No.
No? Okay, so I'll wait.
We'll talk another
time. I'll wait for you. What time is shir done?
I can. I have a gayrus right after. I'm running out.
Okay.
We'll talk. Okay. Sorry about that. Too much to get into right now, okay? Vikashali! Lahai Perusha says the Rush, 1 minute, but it's really a little bit difficult. Why? Because if it's only lechachila, we can let him shech, but really we should check him afterwards. So then we could have read it back into the Mishnah. We could have said, Vakashi Lahai Perusha, my lo muki masdisa karavina, says Tomber Ravina ben Mumchen, Vahaki Hatani, is what I meant to say, call shech lechachil, we can give him to shech. As long as we're going to check him after. Come on, but if he's not around, the shkita is really good. So Rush says, if we're going to say this, right, what are we saying now? We don't accept Rav Yehuda held. If you're a mumche, good. If not, the shkita is no good. We say no. Most people come to shech, know what they're doing. But you know what? When it comes time to it, we really should ask him. So then, says the Ra, that's where the Ga'anim held. We really should ask him. So after the Shkita, ask him. If he's not around, the Shkita is fine. So then read it back into the Mishnah. Kol Shaykhtim, give everybody the Shech, I'll smach the Roiv. Afterwards, you should really ask him. You know, Al Tanad, you can ask him after. And if he's not around after, so then the Shkita is going to be the Evan. So the Rush says, no, you couldn't have read it back into the Mishnah. Why not? It's really a good Kasha. He says, we're going to see the Ra makes a big deal about this Kasha. But the Rush says, V'yishloim edo l'shayachu misni ha'kol shaykhtim l'chadchila came in the mechusar tikonu. You can't say ha'kol shaykhtim if there's a condition. Ha'kol shaykhtim implies something that was l'chadchila, l'chadchila, l'chadchila. If you're going to make a condition to it already, it's a b'diyevin. He says, V'yishloim edo l'shayachu misni ha'kol shaykhtim l'chadchila came in the mechusar tikonu ha'chashkita sh'asalecho b'lod b'dika lo mikri kagav l'chadchila. Pasha not called the lechachila. That's already shtikol b'diyevin because you're making a condition about it. Okay, but how did the Rush learn? The Rush learned, like the Ga'anim, that we paskin not like Ravina wrote between it to shkita mumchen. A guy walks up to do shkita, great. We should though ask him afterwards, you know, if he knows hilchos shkita. We couldn't have read that back into the Mishnah because then hakol shechem wouldn't be a real lechachila. There's a shtikol b'diyevin over here. Is that even when we give a person to shecht, we're going to ask you questions afterwards? Why shouldn't we rely, you know, on the straight, on the rov? Why do we have to check? If we have a rov. If this is a rov mitzvin et toshkita mumchanim, can't we rely on the rov? Why do we have to check it after? Why do they go in and feel you have to check? So the truth of the matter is, because that's a rule, whenever we have a rov, typically you should check. Even though we have a rov, when it's possible to check, you should check. Where does this come from? I mean, you make sure that we're correct. It comes from the Gemara Masechtas Pesachim. The Gemara says Masechtas Pesachim over here. Boy, my name is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Hamaskir Baisa Chaver Bar Ba'osa. Let's say I rent a house. If this happens, Mamish Bechol, you know, every Pesach. A guy rents a house on Erev Pesach. But I'm only coming in to the rental. Not that I rented it and I'm flying in on Erev Pesach. I found you and we arranged the rental Erev Pesach. So should I assume that the house was checked or not assume that the house was checked? See, if I book a house months in advance, but I'm Airbnb, whatever they call it, VRBO, whatever it is, and I arrive, Erev Pesach, but we booked it in December. No, that's not what we're talking about, because then the landlord has in mind that the tenant will check it. But let's say this is the landlord's room, and he lives there. If you want to rent it out, I'll give you the room. So when I arrive, Erev Pesach, do I have to assume that the room has been checked? Or can I assume that the owner didn't check it and I have to check it? So the Gemara says, "Hamask about the chaver bar ba'osa chaskasa baduk or ain chaskasa baduk? Is it? Can I assume that the house was checked or not checked?" The Gemara says, "Lamai nafkamina l'shailei." Ask him. Gemara says, no, delay say lahaila shaila. We can't ask him. He's not around to ask. But yet the Gemara says in the end, I'm sorry I didn't give it to you. I don't know what happened to it. The Gemara says, Chazkasa chavar she'enu motzim yada davar she'enu musukan. We have a rule that Jewish people don't keep tray food around the house. Let's say I walk into your kitchen and I see in your refrigerator a block of cheese. Do I have to assume that this is tray cheese? And let's say there's no hashgacha on it. I walk in, I see a steak in your refrigerator. You say, help yourself. When I walk into your house, I have to assume that I need a heksher on the steak. Anything in your refrigerator is probably kosher food, because the Gemara says, we have a rule that's in that Gemara over there. A chaver, a religious person doesn't keep tray food around the house. You shouldn't do that. There's some people who have help around. You shouldn't have a closet of non kosher food in the house. Because chaver, what are you laughing? Because the people have this. Because a chaver, huh? Sure. When people around me, when they have workers coming, they order tray food for the workers and they keep it around. Why should I buy kosher food for them? I let them have tray food. That's what they like, and it's cheaper. So it's a big problem doing business with non-kosher food, a whole problem. But even if I'm not going to be the one who's buying it, I shouldn't allow my housekeeper to have a closet in my house of tray food. Ugh. We should have, there's no iser in that. You should have kosher, the food in your house should be kosher food, otherwise it all gets mixed up. So Gemara ends up saying, you know what? The house can presume to be checked. Why would I have a house in my room, a room in my house that's not checked? But if that's the case, why do I have to bother checking this out? Why did Gemara say, ask him? Why ask him? So Gemara says, no, we only came on to that because he's not around to ask. So you see, when we have a chazaka, we have a rov. Chazaka here means rov. Sometimes chazaka means a previously established status. Sometimes chazaka means it's a presumption, which is really just like most Jewish people, most religious people don't have trade food in their house. So chazkasu al-chave here, chazaka sometimes means a rov. Rov, religious Jews, Rabbi Shechter makes a big deal about that. There are many types of chazakas. Sometimes chazaka though means rov. So here means a rov. Rov, religious Jews don't have trade food around their house. But if he's around, I should ask him. If he's around, I should make sure that the room was checked. So over here, rov people know Hilchos Shechita, but at the same time, if you can check, you should check. The Vilna Gaon quotes this in Hilchos Tzitzis as a reason that you should check your tzitzis every day. All right, tzitzis is a Rashi Tevis. Tzadik, Yivdak, Tzitziosov, Tamid, I think the Mishnah Berurah says. Tzadik is constantly checking his tzitzis. People every morning check their tzitzis. They're afraid the tzitzis tore. You really don't have to. Tzitzis is unlikely that your tzitzis tore if you don't bring them around. But it says in Mishnah Berurah you're supposed to do that. It comes from this. It has a chazaka that your tzitzis were kosher, but why not check it? Chazkaso. You should go out of your way to check it. So too, Rav Matunas Shechit the Mumin Hain, but yet the Goyim feel if you can check it afterwards, you should check it afterwards. Oh. That's the Goyim. Hakais Hashri Kosta Or Zaruah. That's really similar to the Goyim, but in entirely, he just flips it. He says, if you're going to check before the guy shechs, right? If you're going to check lechatchila, check lechatchila before he shechs. What are you checking lechatchila after he checks? So that makes sense, right? If you want to check lechatchila, we're not going to rely on the rov when you can check. Well, of course, everyone agrees if you didn't check, it's okay because you have a rov. Rov and seen as a street of most people know who shechs, know what they're doing. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother. He says, check before. But then he says something which is really surprising. He says, if you didn't check before, don't bother checking after. That's interesting. So says that goes to Shub, or is a real pasak? The dafka b'diyevet heikha shekvar nishkata samchin in aruba. Only after it's been shechted, we rely on the Roman teenage to skit the mumhinim. Apagav di ika kamon ha-sheichet. Even if the sheichet is here, says the Zaruah. Loi boi lemivdeke. You don't have to check it. Afiu nignava tani goyo shabasa liyad rosh. You don't have to check it. When should you check it? But look at the last line of Ochachila loi shavkino gago mishkat adabad kino lei. We really shouldn't let him check in the first place. Koheka ikalavara lo samchin arubu. If you can check it out, check it out. So we shouldn't have relied on the rov to let him shecht. Once he's shechted, though, there's no point in checking it afterwards. That's the Orzaruah. So, again, he subscribes to Gemara Masechta Pesachim. If you can check, you should check. He just says, check beforehand. Okay, that makes no sense. I understand that. But then he says, if you didn't check beforehand, don't bother checking after. And this is the machlekes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. Should we pass it like the Gaonim or should we pass it like the Or Zeruah? So in the Shulchan Aruch, Siman Alf Sif Aleph, he quotes the Gaonim. Hakol Shaitim Mechachila, Afilu Ein Makirin Oisei Shemuchzik Lishkoit. Even if we don't know if the guy knows how to shecht, Shalo Yisalev. We don't know if he has a strong stomach. We don't know if the guy knows Hilchos Shechita. He comes to us, he says, I know how to shecht, let me shecht. Okay. Mutar li klein lo lechatchila lishchot. Umutar lecho mishchitosa. You can eat it. Sharoi v'regil and lishchot heim b'cheskas mumchen umuchzokin. You can assume he's kosher. B'amed v'amamurim, when is this true? K'she'enu lefaneinu. He's no longer here. As mutar lecho mishchitosa v'seim hua chazaka. Then we can rely on the chazaka. If he's here, tzarech lebodkoi im humum chaviyadei hakashkita. We got to check him. You have to check. Okay, so you don't have to check before. You have to check after. You never have to check im nesalef. You never. I don't even have to ask the guy, did you faint? That I don't even have to bother with. The Gemara says we're not afraid people faint. You don't have to be afraid people faint. Yeah.
If we have a concern to check him while he's still there, why would we be okay with not checking him when he's no longer there?
Again?
Why would we be okay with not checking him when he's left? When he's not, clearly it doesn't matter. Clearly it's okay. Clearly we have a chazaka that he's a mumchen. So why are we asking him when he's still there? If he's still there?
Because l'chadchigo, you should try and clarify whether the rov was correct.
But if we have this chazaka that they're mumchen,
yes.
Why do we need to do the checking ultimately?
Because even though there's a rov, we should check and make sure that it's correct. Because there's always a minority that don't, right? There's always a minority that don't. So we have to make sure that we're from the majority. If that's the case, by the way, so then why don't we check if the guy's a fainter also? Right? That Ravina was concerned, we can't let a guy shech because we know he has a strong stomach. We don't even bother checking that. Why not? If we're checking everything out, right? We're not relying on the rove. So most people don't faint. There are clearly a minority of people who faint every time they see blood. I know no such people. It happens. So, well, certainly this kind of, is very gory. So why don't we even ask him? Why don't we bother asking him?
Why do you think that he would learn his lesson and he went to Shlita if he would faint?
That's the rove. There's a minority of people who are not that smart. That's what Ravina was concerned about, right? So we don't pass like Ravina, but there is a minority of people like that. So we don't pass like Ravina either. Ravina thought you have to be a mumcha. We have to give you a faher. We say, no, most people come to Shech know what they're doing. You wouldn't do it otherwise. So, but if he's around after, the Shulchan Aruch says you should check after. Why do you have to check if the guy's a fainter? So the Ramban addresses this. Over here, Chulin Daf Gimel Mebeis, a famous Ramban. Because Ramban formulates the following principle. The Ramban says that whenever it's a significant minority, you have to check. What's called a Miyat Hamatzoi. It's a minority that's found. It's significant. If it's a miyat she'eno matzoi, it's not found at all. It's so rare, you know, that you rarely come across it, then you don't have to check for it ever. The Ramban says that's why we check for holes in the lungs after the shechita. That's one of the 18 trefas. There's 17 other trefas. We don't check for them. That's the only one we check for. The shechita blows up the lungs after. Why don't we check for the other trefas? So Ramban says, because they occur so rarely, we don't have to be concerned about it. So if it's a miyut hamatzoi, you have to be concerned. If it's a miyut she'eno matzoi, you don't have to be concerned. So the chashash of shemi is alef, you'll faint, is so rare. There are people like that, but it's rare. As opposed to a guy who comes to do shechita, who then turns out to be an amaretz. Amaratzis is not rare, right? There are people who are amaratzim. Unfortunately, that is more than a miyat hamatzoi, right? We're almost at a roiv already, right? Okay. So fine. So that you have to check for. The shemi yisalef is so rare, you don't have to check for it. This Ramban, what's called rare, what's called not rare? So Mishkanis Yaakov writes, the place can quote from Mishkanis Yaakov, that it's 10%. 10%, you have to be concerned. Less than 10%, you don't have to be concerned. The OU, in devising its policies, in communication with Rabbi Yashiv, he said that he feels it's less, 7.5%. Most of them are just getting these numbers from how common it was to have sirchus in the rea, because everybody holds you have to check for the holes in the lung. How often do animals occur with holes in the lungs? There are statistics on this. So in some places it occurs 7.5%. So Rabbi Yashar says, so that must be the threshold of Mira Matzah. In other places, it occurred in 10% of the animals. Apparently, it occurs more in the summertime than in the wintertime because the animals chew the fence and swallow nails. No joke. So that's why it happens more in the summertime than in the wintertime. And of course, in different places in the world and how they feed and treat the animals, you're more likely or less likely to have a hole in the lung. But it's somewhere between 7.5% and 10% is a Mira Matzah, right? That you have to check for. Less than that, you don't have to bother checking. This is relevant not only in this area, that's why the Ramban is quite famous. It's quoted by the Shulchan Aruch in other areas too. For example, most suits are made without shatnez. Even wool suits do not have shatnez. If you get one or two suits in your whole life that come out with shatnez, well, you're doing all right. I've had two so far, three. Well, one time I bought it said wool and linen. I didn't even realize. And I brought it to the shatnez guy. He's like, what's wrong with you? Anyway, but other time I've had two other suits. So I guess a whole lifetime, two other suits. And I buy suits a lot. So I just go through them. That's what I wear every day. But, how often? Okay, but we all check our suits. Why? You really don't have to. Why? Because it occurs with such infrequency. We don't have to bother checking for it. Now, the truth of the matter is, in certain suit companies, it occurs with greater frequency, right? Certain brands are notorious for it. And you can find online those kinds of brands nowadays, and those kinds of brands that are notorious. So if you have that brand that is notorious for it, then it's not a miut, it's probably a certainty. But, stam suits that you buy in a store rarely happens. So let's say people ask all the time, a chassan buys a suit right before the wedding, he doesn't have time to get a check for shatnez. Can I wear this suit without getting a check for shatnez right before Pesach? Can I have time to get a check? Yeah, you can wear it. The minig is we check it. We don't really have to. Why do we check it? We check it because we don't rely on the rov. Why not? We check it out. The Gemara says in Masechet Pesachim, right? If it's possible to ask. If it's not around, okay, we can rely on the rov. But here we probably don't even have to ask. It's a mir she'eino matzah. It occurs with such infrequency. We shouldn't be concerned with it. The Rama also quotes that the minig is to do it. I'm not disparaging the minig. The Rama also quotes this in Hilchos Bugs in Simon Pei Dawid. Hilchos Toloim. The Rama says the Shulchan Aruch says if you have a food which is regularly has Toloim, you have to check it. If it's so infrequent that it's a miyachei no matzoi, you don't have to bother checking. You can rely on the rov, right? You don't have to cut open all your apples looking for a worm. Even though there are apples that have worms in them. That is true. It's not an old wise tale. So then, why? Why not have to check every apple? Maybe there's a worm. It occurs with such infrequency that it's not something we have to worry about. So the same is true with bugs. The big shaila is what changed in recent decades. Right? When everyone always asks, well, what did they do decades ago? When no one was checking for bugs. There was a time when no one was checking for bugs. When I was growing up, we always... without getting involved in it. There was no... this became a big thing later on. So, because people raised awareness, which is great. But why is there such disparity in Poskim with regards... It should just depend on pure statistics. What's all the dispute? Now, there's a big area of dispute with regards to bugs because we said, what? 10%. 7.5%. So you could have a different shear of what's called the Miyad Hamatzai, how small of a minority do we have to check for? That there's some... Right. Room for negotiation, but it shouldn't be that big of a difference. The real crux of the issue with regards to bugs is 1 in 10, right? 1 in 10 is a problem. 1 in 10 of what? 1 in 10 of what? 1 in 10 of serving sizes? Or 1 in 10 times I eat salad, I find a bug? Or maybe it's 1 in 10 bites, right? Which means I could have a few bugs in my salad as long as I take 30 bites, I'm all right. Or maybe 1 in 10 heads of lettuce, which means if there's one bug in the entire kitchen, we have to check everything. Even if there isn't one bug in every 10 salads. Let's say they box up those salads. I don't know how many heads of lettuce that is. But so I would probably say you could box up 10 salads with 6 heads of lettuce or 5 heads of lettuce. So then if there's one in every 10 boxes, one in every 10 heads of lettuce, which means you got to check, or one in every 10 delivery of lettuce, which means if there's one in the entire warehouse, I have to check all of the lettuce. So, certain parts give a chef, and we will feel that it depends on serving size. We will go so far as to say bites, one in every 10 bites. So, as long as I take 20 bites and only one bug, you're all right. Shetla thinks it depends on serving size. Shlomo Zalman felt it depends on heads of lettuce, which means if I have 10 heads of lettuce and only one bunk, I got to check all 10. Rabbi Yasha felt it depends on whatever I have in front of me, 1 in 10 of that. So if I have a pallet of lettuce, that's one of those things that comes in the wooden crates, but you need 1 in 10 of pallets of the cabbage, you got to check all of that. So that's that. You're going to have a big disparity in terms of on bugs, but everyone agrees to the same principle, and that is that if it's 1 in 10 or some variation of that, you got to check. If it's less than that, you don't have to check. So that's the point the Ramban makes. He looked over here. He says, "Va'achshu fi d'vareinu niskaimu d'vrei ha'goyanim." We understand the goyanim sheskimu kulan deheka deshachar chad visa kamal lemivdekei. The guy, we chefs, and he's here before us to check. The tzarach lemivdekei. We have to check him. Yadei hoshkita muto lechem mishkitas. If he knows hoshkita, you can eat. If not, you can't eat. Come on, he's not here. Come on, we should ask him afterwards. He says this psak of the Goyanim preceded the Ramban. He says, but we're makabel b'sever panim yafis. A strange formulation for accepting a halacha, but okay. Really has to do with Shalom Aleichem, right? He says, "She'ein soim gonna arrive garua v'shemi uto matzoi al b'makom lo efshar." We only rely on a rov. If there's a mir hamatzoi, when you have no other choice. Vafir Rabbanan, though, has nothing to do with Rameyer, Chayshin Lemiyuta, not Chayshin Lemiyuta. We all have to check. We can rely on the rove, but the Yevon, if we have no choice, and no one was around, wasn't around to check, we can rely on the rove, but really we should ask him. So that's the principle of the Ramban, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says you should really ask the guy. Even the Rav Mitzvah Nesach, we should ask him afterwards. But then, look back at Oizdal, it says the Ramban. You should only rely on the chazaka b'di'evin. L'chadchila ein lismoch al chazaka to give him to shech. You shouldn't give him to shech unless you first tested him. If you can ask him before, ask him before. Now he doesn't quote the other part of Agos Hashri, which is once he shechted, don't bother. Agos Hashri did say that, and this is the source of the Ramah. The Agos Hashri did say that. What did the Agos Hashri? The Agos Hashri said, "Avagav the Ika come on Hashoyche loy boy lemivdeke." If you didn't check before, don't bother checking after. So that's unusual. We understand where the Rambam is coming from. Ask him before. Shulchan Aruch said, "Ask him after." Why ask him after? Ask him before, right? You don't want to rely on the Rov. I understand that. Ask him before. But why would the Orz Haruah say, "And if you gave him to Shecht, don't bother asking him afterwards"? That's strange. Why not? If you can check it out, check it out. Have you heard the kasha? Or is that really strange? So Salvatric suggested that perhaps, it's found in the Shiurei HaRav, suggested that perhaps the Hagos Hashri, who holds you don't have to bother to check afterwards, is not concerned with being Mavarer the Rov at all. That's not what this halacha is based on. We don't have to be concerned that to be Mavara the Rove. If we're being Mavara the Rove, so then ask him afterwards. He's not concerned with being Mavara the Rove. We'll have to figure out why not. But he's not concerned with being Mavara the Rove. Nah, forget about that. Why do I have to ask him before? Because, as a policy, even though Rome Mitzvah Neitzah Shkita Mumchen, the majority of people who know how to Shecht, who come to Shecht, know what they're doing, as a policy, we shouldn't let people just walk up and take the Yomud, who we don't know who they are. There should be some regulations here, there's some control over who we're allowing to become the Shechet. It's bad policy. Not because we're actually concerned with the myriad of people who are going to come to Shecht who don't know what they're doing. It's just we shouldn't, as a policy, allow it's a takonas hakohol, so to speak, something along those lines. We shouldn't allow whoever wants to come and Shecht to allow them to Shecht. So therefore, ask him before. If you didn't ask him before, we don't have to try and be Mavara the Rove. Just let it go. He's not concerned with being Mavara the Rove. If you'd be concerned with being Mavara the Rove, ask him after. No, he's just saying it shouldn't be, whoever grabs the microphone gets, whoever grabs the chalaf knife, whoever grabs the sheath knife gets the shot. It shouldn't be like that. That's why the Ramah continues. Look at the next line. It's apparent. This pshat in the Ramah is obvious. Look at the next line. V'lachein noyagin she'ein adam sheichet al imke not the kabbalah v'nechacham. You have to receive an official appointment. Ve'en chacham noisim al kabbalah. It shouldn't even be a chacham who gives an individual kabbalah. Sheyodeh bo sheyodeh hilchos shechita baki biyad. You have to receive a specific type of smicha. So nowadays, you don't have to bother checking them before or after, because everyone who does so received prior approval. So it's more of an approval process, not because we're actually concerned with being mavar the rov. It's just this is a community appointment, and therefore there should be some approval process that you need in order to allow you to become a shaykhet. This feeds into, this is the basis, the backdrop, the context of that discussion we had about women doing shechita, right? We said a woman can't do shechita, not because there's anything wrong if she wants to shech for herself, there's no problem. It's because shechting at that time was a community appointment. So where did that come from? It came from this agur who says even though we shouldn't allow people to just grab the shechita knife and start shechting for the community. There has to be some sort of regulation here, and therefore there's some approval process. But if the guy already shechted, what's the point in checking afterwards? Yeah.
Would we allow the guy, or once he has the kabbalah, then he can give him shech, would we allow him to shech for himself?
So that would be the difference, right? He could be, but if he knows himself, if he knows hilchos shechita or not. And it's up to you, right? Okay, so that's why the Hagos HaShrisa felt that perhaps check before. It's an approval process, not because we're actually being by the road, but if you didn't check before, no point in checking after. Why? Why is there no point in checking after? Why isn't he concerned with being Mavara the Rov? He doesn't think that there are a minority of people who don't know what they're doing. He never heard of a Maratzen. We have a plethora of them. So why was he not concerned with being Mavara the Rov? And this point is, the problem is highlighted by the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah has the Torah Sabayis is written by the Rashba. That's all of Shulchan Aruch Yerideh is based on the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. Follows the Rashba's order. That's why Shechita is first, because the Rashba has Hilchos Shechita first in the Torah Sabayis. So almost all of Yerideh follows the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. On the side of the Torah Sabayis is a Bedek Habayis by the Ra'ah, who disagrees often with the Rashba. You would only know about it if you ever went Shulchan Aruch Yerideh. If you never went Yerideh, you never come across the Torah Sabayis of the Rashba. But almost all of Yerideh is based on the Torah Sabayis. So the Torah Sabayis, the Bedek Habayis of the Ra'ah, after the Rashba quotes this Ga'inim, which we've been saying, even the Rav Mitzvin et Toshkit the Mumkanhein, really you should check it out. The Ra'ah disagrees. He says, why do I have to check it out? Right, Mitzvin et Toshkit the Mumkanhein, no bother to check. What check? Who check? So he says, "Vani oyim edivrei ga'inim midas chasidus." It's very nice to do that. Yeah, very nice. You have your chumrah. Never prevent people from having their chumras. But v'roy linoy kain, and it's nice to do it. Aval lefi ha'halacha eino kain. It's not true. And if it would be true, he has the problem the Rush says. If it would be true, the chachilah you have to check afterwards. Then read it back into the Mishnah. Hakol shorich. We can allow everyone to shecht, even if we don't know who you are, provided that we ask you afterwards. And if we didn't ask you afterwards, with the evidence, good. Shitasing shera. And I say, well, then, how are you going to read it into the safe of the Mishnah? Say, come on, we'll figure this out. Safe of the Mishnah never bothered us. Every pshat that we had didn't fit into the safe of the Mishnah. He says. So all of a sudden, you're going to allow the safe of the Mishnah to dictate what's going on? He says, "Vim isa the heck of the isa kaman tarach bedika ikasi eshul look my shabbat kid Ravina. Let's modify Ravina's approach and get back into the Mishnah. The name Ahaki, I call shechtin, I call mumkin shechtin, v'af bishem musakin, and ask him afterwards." So therefore, concludes the Ra'ah, two lines from the bottom of the first paragraph. Hilchos shuras hadin derav mitzvin et shechita mumkinin. That's the halacha. Whoever comes to shecht is presumed to be kasher, vafilu ise kaman lo boy bedika kal. Even if he's here, you don't bother to ask him. El misha roitz alasas came b'midas chasidus v'lomen adin kal. So midas chasidus, we don't have to do it. So the Ra'ah takes this as a third opinion, right? The Ga'inim, and that's where the Shulchan Aruch Paskin held. Rav Mitzvah Shechita Mumkin, you have to test him before, test him after. The Or Zeruah held, test him before because it's a kind of approval process. If you don't test him before, you don't bother to test him after. The Ra'ah holds, you don't have to test anybody anytime. To me, this chassidus to do it, but Rav Mitzvah Shechita Mumkin. Anybody who comes to Shech, we can presume to be kosher. Why? Chevra, we saw the Gemara says in Bava and Pesachim. If you can check it out, Rav people, everything in their house is kosher. Fine, but you never know. So if the guy's here, ask him, did you check this room for B'dikas Chametz? So too, why don't we ask the guy, do you know, by the way, on Shuldix, do you know Hilchos Shechita or not? Why don't we bother asking him? So the Ra'ah himself explains. But His explanation needs some explanation. Says the Rav, four lines from the bottom. V'cheivan d'chein. Lo havilan l'mismach ha'hai ruba d'ro mitzine es l'shidim l'mchonheim. We shouldn't really have relied on the Rav. It doesn't mean simply a rov. V'lav davka rov. It's not a majority. It's an absolute certainty. El kol hamitzuyin kaminan. Kol hamitzuyin kaminan. It's not a majority. It is an absolute certainty that whoever involves himself in shkita is kasha she'ein lecha matzah yisra shkita le'olam elamumcha. Every person in the entire world who chefs is with absolute certainty we know that he's a mumcha. What? Vafihu mi'uleka. There's no minority even of amaratzim. Really? V'hai d'nakad rov ashigras lishon hu. That's just the routine language that we use. The time of the mill, so the kol mitzui neitzoshkita somkin anu lomar shein mumchen. Anybody who comes to Shecht, we know he's a mumcha. If he should daven before some who be Yisrael, it is something well known in the Jewish people. V'afil eitz ami ha'aretz sh'nevei la'asura. An am ha'aretz would never involve himself in Shechita. Every single person who involves himself in Shechita is a mumcha. So don't bother checking. Yes, you have to check a rov. If it's Mir Hamatzoy, this was a Mir Hamatzoy, the Gaonim say. The Rav says it's not only is it not a Mir Hamatzoy, it's not even a Mir She'eino Matzoy, it's an absolute certain. How, come on, really? How could the Rav be so certain that there's no Amma Oretz who's involving himself in Hilchos Shechita? How does he know that? That you don't have to bother checking. That's why he holds you don't have to bother checking. The Rav is not quoting Shulchan Aruch, but how did the Rav know this? Cover you here? It's a little weird. I mean, it's a very Pollyannish view of the world, right? Everybody who approaches Hilchos Shechita is beloved and knowledgeable. But the problem is, it doesn't conform to reality. So what do we do with this? How do we understand this Ra'a? So in the Tshuvas of the Beis Halevi, of course, Chaim's father was a Rashid and Belazhin, and then the Rav in Slutsk. So in the Tshuvas of the Beis Halevi, Chayuk Beis Simen Aleph, and then he has it again in Simen Dawud. It's a famous Shtikl Torah from the Beis Halevi. So Beis Halevi explains that according to the Ra'a, this is not a halacha of rov at all. It's not that it's a majority of people who involve themselves in Shechita know what they're doing. What is this halacha? It's halacha of Eidos. See, when I shecht, I am, and I present it to others, I am testifying about the fact that the food is kosher. Otherwise, I wouldn't be presenting it to others. But the very fact that I am presenting food to you, I'm testifying by the fact that the food is kosher. For example, the Ravid, in his commentary on the Rif in the back of Pesachim, says, discussing whether or not Eid Echanem and Bisurin applies to women. Eid Echanem and Bisurin, you come into my kitchen, you ask me, is the food kosher? Does it apply to women? He says, of course it applies to women. How could you believe your wife that her food is kosher? How can you believe your mother that her food is kosher? Now, does your mother, every time she serves you, you have to ask her, Ma, is it kosher? And she says, yes, it's kosher. Eid Echanem and Bisurin. No, she's presenting you with the food. She's a religious Jew. You're a religious Jew. So you can presume that the food is kosher. So if this guy is chefing on behalf of the community or on behalf of others, and he's not just eating it himself, he's serving you the food, so then that's like he's testifying that the food is kosher. And Eid Echa Neman Bisurin. So this is not a halakha of rov. The Gemara says rov. We saw the Gemara says chazaka, and it doesn't mean chazaka. It means rov. Chazaka al-chavashin, what's me other davashin musukan, doesn't mean that, a chazaka, a previously established status, it means that projects forward. It means majority of religious people only have kosher food in their refrigerator. Unless they got it right as a gift from a coworker or something. That's usually all we have. So it means rov. Here, when the Gemara says rov, it doesn't mean rov. What it means is, it's eidos. If you are giving shechted food to others, you are testifying about the fact that it's kosher. So that's why the Ra'av felt there's no point in checking. You don't really have to check, and that's perhaps how the Orz HaRuah felt. That's why Orz HaRuah says if the guy's shechted already, there's no point in checking. He's presenting to his kosher food, Eid Echanem and Bisurin. Well, we shouldn't allow every guy to come up and start taking the knife and shechting for the community. It's ridiculous. It's just we need an approval process. That's why you have to check before. But once he's shechted already, we could assume Eid Echanem and Bisurin and the food is kosher. Yeah.
But when whenever we have a normal court case, don't we always try to prove the witnesses to be false to see if they're like legit or not?
Yeah.
So why wouldn't that apply here?
You're talking about Drisha v'Chakira.
Yeah.
That applies to Dinei Mamonis and Dinei Nefashis. Not to, you don't have to, when your mother says the food is kosher, you don't have to say, really, where'd you buy it? Was anyone there with you? How much did you pay? Can I see the receipts?
Like
what time of day were you there? Was it sunny outside? You know, what shoelaces was the guy wearing? You don't have to do that. That only applies to Eidos Dinei Mamonis, Dinei Nefashis. So that might indicate already that Eidach HaNem B'Surin is not really a kind of Eidos. We use the word Eidos, and again, we don't mean Eidos. We mean every person has integrity, and therefore is deserving of Nemanus. They're believed because by virtue of who you are. It's similar to Eidos, but not really Eidos. It's more Nemanus. A woman is possibly Eidos, yet kosher for to testify the food is kosher. Right? You can have a mashgicha. So why she's possibly Eidos? The answer is Eidach HaNem B'Surin is probably not Eidos to formal testimony. It's a whole shiur in and of itself, but probably not formal testimony. It's probably a kind of Nemanus. It's just, we believe you because of you, who you are, but not formal testifying. So that's why you don't find Drisha v'Chakira. It's a good point, but that's why you don't find Drisha v'Chakira. So similarly over here, that's why there are held. You didn't have to check at all because this is not a halacha of rove, which you should always try and clarify, at least if there's a significant minority. This is a halacha of Eidos. The Beis Halevi goes on, Imamish gives a sheer klali based on this, but the Beis Halevi goes on to explain that's why he's not bothered, the Ra'ah is not bothered by the kasha of the Rush, that the Rush calls the name of Rabbeinu Tam. Oftentimes, even for those who are not concerned with the minority, Rameir Shita, we're going to come up to it soon, is throughout Shas, is Rameir Chayish L'Miyuta. He was always concerned with the minority. Even Rameir was only concerned with a significant minority, not a insignificant minority. But even though we're not concerned with Rameir, we're not concerned about a minority, right? We always check it out, but even if you didn't, you can rely on the rove. If there's a previously established status, le'isur, that joins up with the minority, and that can overcome a rove. So let's say I have a rove of people who come to Shef, know what they're doing. There's a miut of animals, a miut that doesn't know what they're doing. But the animal had a previously established status of being usur, because it was Avram and Achai. So ask Rabbeinu Tam, why don't we say smoch miyuta lechazaka v'israel eruba, a concept that comes up throughout Shas, even according to the Chacham who disagree with Rameir. We're not going to allow a miyut to overcome a rove. Rameir, you know, once there was a miyut there, he just couldn't sleep at night. He wouldn't rely on rove if there was a significant minority. We will. We can sleep at night, even though it's a significant minority. But if there's a chazaka too working against us, then we have to be concerned. So ask Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam, Yishuv de'ika chazaka im amiyot de'uki ha'em b'chazka shelo yodah. So mitoy zeh hayom Rabbeinu Tam, av agav lo chashim amiyuta, even though we're not chashim amiyuta, ana heicha de'ika chazaka b'hado, when there's a chazaka, chashim amiyuta la'achmir. Even though we don't accept a mayor who couldn't sleep at night whenever there was a minority, we can have a robe, even though it's a minority, but if there's a chazaka too, we're bothered by that. V'hadu samchina robe mitzvin et toshkita mumkanhev lo amar smok miyuta. Why don't we say, well, there's a minority and the animal was usher until now? Let the miut come together with the chazak and destroy the rove. So the Rosh is forced to say, Mishum de miut de mumchen lo shkiach. This is really an insignificant miut. Afil Rameir de chayesh de miuta, le miuta de miuta lo shkiach. He wasn't concerned. Such a small minority. However, the Beis Halevi says, perhaps this is not rove at all. We don't need this teretz that it's so minor, the minority, right? It's so insignificant, the minority of people who approach Shkita who don't know what they're doing. This is not a rove at all. What are we dealing with? We're dealing with a person, whenever he chefs for others, is really testifying that the food is kosher. Then the Beis Halevi, Mamish, that's great. But then the Beis Halevi, Mamish, hits it out of the park. And he shows that the Ra'ah is l'shitasa. Because if that's the case, Chevron, right? That how do we interpret Rav Mitzvin Etzushkit Mumchen Heim? Not that it's a majority. If that's the case, check it out if you can. What are we saying now? It's Eidos. Whenever you present food to the Tzibor, you're giving testimony that it's kosher. What if the person is possibly Eidos? Who's possibly Eidos when it comes to Yisurin? Women are coming to Eidos. Oh, what if the guy is not careful to eat kosher meat? What if the guy is not careful to eat kosher meat? We already had. Look at Gimel Medav going over to Gimel Beis. Amar Rava. Yisrael Muma, Oichel Neveles L'Teyoven, a Jewish person who eats Neveles, because he gives it to his Taiva. Boidik Sakim and Oisim Loi. Check the knife and give it to him. I'm not afraid he's going to be manabel the animal, making it to Neveles. Why would he do that? He's a religious guy, other than the fact that he eats hamburger, cheeseburgers. But that's because he gives it to his Taiva. But if he has the choice of making kosher hamburgers, he'll make kosher hamburgers. So check the knife and then fine. Does this mumar have to know hilchos shechita? Or do we say rov mitzuyin etz shechita mumchanein? Do we say rov mitzuyin etz shechita mumchanein by a mumar? So the Torah's habayis, look at the Rashba, says, yes! Why not? Ah, he gives it to his taiva. So what? So he's a mumar ochon neveyas l'teyoven. Says the Rashba, the Torah's habayis, over here, he's testing the stabra. Shafilu b'mumar l'teyoven, soim chen al-chazak azu, Lamaisa, most people who approach Shechita know what they're doing, including the Mumar. Oh. But then he quotes from the Rambam. Who says no? Says the Rambam. Hayodeh hukha Shechita v'shacha b'fnei chacham ad shenase ragel hu anikra mumcha. Wrong Rambam. All right. Mumar, not the Mumar Rambam. Oh, I couldn't paste it. I wasn't careful. But the Rambam disagrees. That's not Perek Dal Halacha Yadala. That's a misquote. Okay, we'll have to get the right one. Look it up. The Rambam disagrees. The Rashba actually quotes it. He says, he quotes the Rambam over there on the fourth line of Torah Sabayis. El Sharav HaRambam Kasev Zelgo Shono Yisrael Mumar LaAvera Min Avera Shahaya Mumche Harei Zashoche L'Chadchila. I have to know he's a Mumche. I don't say Rov Mitzuyin Eitzo Shkita Mumche Nein. That's the language of the Rambam. But the Ra'ah also disagrees. Says the Ra'ah. Od Kosov. Says the Rashba. Again, he says a commentary in the Rashba's Torah Sabayis. He says, Umistabra. Shafil b'mumah l'tayav and soyem chal hazak and the Rav Mitzvini et Roshchit and Mumchan Hein. He says, the Rashba said, even by a mumah, he can say, Rav Mitzvini et Roshchit and Mumchan Hein. Ve'einu nachon. Says in the second line, it's not true. The mumah is a chashud hu, lanu l'tayav and shalom. He's chashud, he eats treif meat. Va'afil eno baki, ve'einu yodeh kral shaykan hu l'tayav and va'oikho. He can't be trusted. Like the Rambam. He gives the Rambam. You have to know he's a mumcha, even though generally we say rov between the shechita mumcha, not the mumar. Why? If it's a rov, so the Rashba makes a lot of sense. Most people approach hilchos shechita know what they're doing. Even the mumar. Well, he wouldn't approach shechita unless he knew what he was doing. The Ra'ah says, no, it's not a rov. We're talking about nemanos here. Your beliefs. If you present food to the tzibar, this is your integrity at stake. This mumar l'tayoven has no integrity when it comes to hilchos kashrus. So therefore, says the Beis Halevi, we understand very well why the ra'ah here is l'chumra. The ra'ah normally holds you don't have to check before or after a guy's shechs. There's no miyot of people who don't know what they're doing. How could it be there's no miyot? We said there is a miyot. But this is a halachim nemanos. You present food to the tzibar, ha'edach and bisurim, we trust you. But if the guy's a mumar l'tayoven, he eats non-kosher food, he has no integrity, he has no nemonos when it comes to the area of kosher food. So he's out. No rov mitzuyin etzo shechita mumchanein. This halachim nemonos. The Rashba held this was a real rov, like any rov in the world, statistics. So most people who approach shechita know what they're doing, even the mumar. So we'd apply rov mitzuyin etzo shechita mumchanein, we don't have to know he's a mumchan beforehand. But the Ra'ah held this entirely, this halacha understood this halacha entirely differently. It's halacha v'nemono, it's not halacha v'raif. Therefore, he excluded the mumar l'tayoven. Okay, chevron. Fun topic.